Well, Sarah Marie, would you mind opening us up in prayer this morning?
I don't. Good morning, everybody. We're so glad that you're here, and we know that more people are going to join, so we'll just keep bumping them in. But let's pray. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the privilege and honor of caring for your people. We ask, Lord, that you help us to be more like you, that we could shepherd them with love, grace, and mercy. We pray your presence during this time today, that we would feel more connected as a servants team as we seek to serve you together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Appreciate you being here this morning, virtually or wherever you might be. We spent some time thinking about this concept of discipleship over the years as a church. It's just one of the core functions that we have. One of the core missions I think that Jesus gave us is to walk with him and help others walk with him as well. And so over the decades as a church, this is something we've put a lot of time and energy into. In the last several years, we spent some time rethinking how we do discipleship. There were some elements of our old process that worked great and some other places where it had holes. And so our various elements of our team came together and spent about a year or so rethinking it and trying to come up with a system that was more of a pure discipleship based system. And so we came up with the discipleship pathway, and we're a few years into it, and we still really love it for the simplicity of what it looks like to help teach someone about walking with Jesus. And so as a city leadership team, one of the things we're trying to figure out is, how do we best integrate that? How do we roll that out into our groups? How do we live that mutually as a community? So we've got kind of two simple goals. We've got this overall goal for discipleship pathway in our lives and our groups in general, that basically that people are walking the pathway with others. And then as groups and individuals, we want groups to be able to engage the discipleship pathway, and we want individuals to increase their familiarity with the pathway. All of that, not because the pathway is amazing, but because Jesus is amazing. And so we had rolled out some structural changes early this year, December, January, February. We talked about structure for our groups and what it looks like to integrate the discipleship pathway elements into our groups. And then COVID hit and kind of blew all that up. And we were just grateful to have groups meeting in general. Now we're taking a relook at that, trying to figure out what should this look like moving forward. And one of the things that we recognized as a team is that the amount of structure, the intensity of the structure that we overlaid on the groups earlier this year was probably too much. And so we're rethinking that right now, trying to figure out what it could look like to modularize some of those components in ways that you guys can integrate them into your existing spaces much more easily. So we've been thinking through all that. I just wanted to give you some heads up that we are still pondering that, but throughout the course of the year, engagement with the pathway is something we still very much want to see happen in our groups, because it hopefully is moving everybody to a deeper relationship with Jesus and a daily walk with him. We had some ideas on how to make that happen and a little bit more successfully on the individual side of things. Jay, could I kick it over to you to talk through some of those?
Yeah. Yeah. We are super excited about the pathway. It's one of the things that as we look forward in the future of the church, even in the midst of the pandemic, this is one of the things that we just feel more and more excited about and confident in. Over the years, one of the big things we shared, even with the vision, was we wanted to be values over vision as a church. And then we also said, as we continue to go forward, we had talked about discipleship culture and not wanting it to just be focused on leaders only, which tended to get a lot of attention in our church in the past. And saying, what does it look like to actually see every single person in the church be able to disciple others? And so as we looked at that, we felt like the Lord was leading us to, we didn't even know what it was quite at the time, but we called it a discipleship pathway. And as we went into conversation on that, the exciting thing is it possible to screen share on this as well? Whoever has that authority, that'd be great.
I already gave it to you.
Oh, there it is. Sweet. Hey, Jay, can you read the right thing and just click it? There it is. All right, here you go. So this is the pathway. Many of you have seen it. There's also a website that you can go to. This is just the most succinct layout that I could find this morning for all of you. And it's lifestyle, habits, ongoing actions. And so as we looked at the church, we felt really led to the worship community mission. We feel like that summarizes pretty much the life of a follower of Christ in big chunks, big categories. Worship is living devoted, community is living committed, and mission is living sent. And over the last year, 2 years, what we have seen, especially this year, as we engage a lot of the city, asking how are people handling, engaging with the pathway? What do they know of it? How are they utilizing it in home groups, discipleship groups? The key that we came away with that was really clear is people had the worship community mission down. That's how far people had memorized. Beyond that, they said they definitely need to look at a tool. We knew that. That's why we created the website and lists like this. But as we prayed and thought through what helps people kind of move further into the pathway and actually begin taking steps, actions, we felt like the habits are the six pieces that are easily memorizable by everyone. I think my kids, I'm going to begin working with them on this, just memorizing the six highlighted pieces there, which says we remain in the gospel, we are renewed by the Spirit through scripture and prayer. We live life with the local church. We build one another up in love. We love our neighbors. We make disciples of Jesus. And our challenge to all of you as leaders, and also for everyone in the city, and we're talking with the campus as well, is we think memorizing the six habits is probably the next most impacting thing we can do. Getting down to the level of the 12 actions can be a lot more cumbersome to try to memorize and keep straight. But the key is, if you are praying and thinking and listening to Lord, that how of disciple you see there at the bottom, where you're trying to hear God, obey God, and do it with others. If you feel like the Lord is pressing worship on your heart, that's what we want, is a lifestyle of worship and living devoted. So you don't have to go to anything else in this pathway. You could listen to the Lord and step into that. But we find it really helpful to say, okay, within that, we remain in the gospel and renewed by the Spirit through scripture and prayer. Is there one of those two habits that I feel like the Lord is laying on my heart? And so if it's remain in the gospel, then I can just say, awesome. What does that look like? How do you want me to remain in the gospel today? The Lord may reveal truth to you. He may remind you of a scripture. He may invite you in your mind to ask a friend just to give you the gospel again, or to go back and listen to that sermon that you heard where the gospel was laid out so clearly. So there's lots of places you can go. The 12 actions that we wrote there, those were clear things that line up, not just as example, like they're actual steps and actions to take, but we never meant to say that those are the conclusive steps that you can take under a particular habit or even under a lifestyle. And so for us, it's if you can get to the habit and say, okay, I feel like the Lord is calling me to worship and remain in the gospel. That's what I'm hearing. It will lead you either to what does that mean, Lord? And trying to discern what step or action does he want you to take. It also may just lead you back to the pathway itself to say, okay, I don't remember. There's two actions tied to remain in the gospel. What are those? So then you look it up. Because what I'm finding is as someone feels worship, community, or mission as a major category, they tend to stop there. And they're trying to listen and discern. And we just feel like the next step down, habits. Habits create action, or actions build into habits. Habits create lifestyles. And so that was kind of the progression. And we'd love for all of you to work into the layer of habits, memorize these six habits, and then continue to, in your own walk and in discipleship groups, home groups, however that all plays out, be listening to the Lord. What would it look like to try to make this a daily habit? For starts, I would say memorize the habits. And what would it look like to try to engage with it a couple times a week and just see what the Lord might have to say with you in this space? So Joel, I don't know if you wanted me to say any more on that, but I feel like I talked for a bit.
No, that was great. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Do you have another thing that you'd like to share your screen with us for?
Is it the website?
No, the card.
Yes. In a moment.
So we, as a city staff team, as we think about, man, how can we really implement this better, set you up for better, for success? It really is coming back to it and refreshing it, and then seeing what can we do to keep the discipleship pathway in your hands, in your mind as much as possible. So Jay touched on the website. You'll know on the city resource leader resource page that there are handouts for that there as well. And then as a staff team, mostly under Melissa's guidance and leadership, we have a postcard size discipleship pathway with those six habits that we want you and your groups to start memorizing now. And we are planning on getting those to you and out to your group members as just another way to help you really solidify that. So you may have gotten the bookmark that has the full pathway on it. This will just be those, the verse, those six that we want you to really start with.
Can you all see it? Worship, community, mission.
Yeah.
Living devoted, living committed, living sent. And then it has right under it, the we remain in the gospel. We're renewed by the Spirit through scripture and prayer. Living committed, we live life with the local church. We build one another up in love. Living sent, we love our neighbors and make disciples of Jesus. And then the other thing is, while you're at it for memorization, I would encourage you to memorize the rooting scripture, the verse that anchors this whole thing, which is the 2 Corinthians 5:15. And we have that included with this document that Melissa created. Jesus died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. And yeah, Melissa created this. It's pretty awesome. We believe it is an adventure to follow Jesus. And when we all saw this as a city staff team, we just thought, wow, that's a great reminder. Just be leaning in and be on an adventure with Jesus. So
Joel and I will also be trying to connect with you as group and ministry leaders to find out what's been working well for you when it comes to including the discipleship pathway in your area of ministry, as we seek to make even more resources or templates for groups to really hone in on how can we best serve our group specifically with the pathway and help them become lifelong followers of Christ.
And I would say for now, if you're engaging the discipleship pathway in group spaces, there's no wrong way to do it. So whatever fits and integrates in with your structure right now, we want to try and support that. And we want to provide some of those frameworks for you in the future as we develop them. Any thoughts, questions on any of all of that, any or all of that as leaders? Kevin, yeah, go Kevin. For it.
Mine's a question. So with our group, we're entirely virtual again, both home group setting and discipleship group, just with night coming sooner and the weather getting colder sooner than we'd hoped. So I guess, Jay, I saw that nice one pager. I'm just thinking of how does someone in our group present this to our group? It's going to have to be virtual. And I don't know if you could also, in addition to a postcard, make that one pager available with those highlights that may help us communicate this to our group.
Yeah, certainly. You can possible? Send that out digitally. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe send Jay, that to both you, me and Steve for our group.
Well, Jay, if you PDF that, maybe both of them, and then just I'll give that out to everybody.
Yeah, and we can also put it on that resource page for leaders as well.
And our intention is to mail the postcard to each person in our church. So everyone right. should get it. And it may be that they have received it within a specific couple weeks. And so it could be easy to like reference that in a visual space and have it be visual in the home. So that virtually when it's connecting, there's a visual reminder. That's the idea.
Yeah, that's great, Melissa. I was reminding myself we have group tonight, and I thought, oh, this would be some great content to bring up tonight. So
definitely.
We can get you that today.
Yep. I will actually put it together right now, make it a PDF. Do you want me to share it even in this?
There's no harm in doing that. That's fine. But I will email it out to the whole leaders.
Oh, you'll email it. Great. Let's we'll just do it that route.
Hey, any other thoughts or questions? I sadly am on my phone, so I have to scroll through everybody.
Well, we're calling them out for you, Joel.
Oh, great. You just call them out, Sam Ray.
Yeah, we got you. Phones are hard. Kevin, my discipleship group never stopped being virtual. And so I have similar dynamic of how do we talk about this? How do we bring this bring this up regularly, and it does seem like more of a challenge in or virtually. But I think that for our group, it's just really been coming back to it over and over again. But I would say I don't think that the large majority of them have it memorized. So I think the resources will be super helpful for me too.
For me, over the last year, personally, the two ways that I've connected to it most easily are the app, the New Life app on my phone, because I always have that on me. And then the other piece is I've got the bookmark in the Bible. And so either I've got my scripture open and it's right there, or I just use the app. And so we'll get that to you, but even in a spot where people don't have access to those things, chances are they probably do still have access to the phone, and the app has it on there. Yes, you got them both.
Anything else about the discipleship pathway refresh, or where we're hoping to go with this? If not, feel free to always email or message Joel and I now, even if you'd like to, and we can write that down. And this is something just like in your groups, we'll just keep coming back to it and seek to equip and empower you and your group in it.
Sweet. Thanks, everybody. I wanted to update you a bit on how our in-person worship services are going at this point. We pulled some stats from the first 7 services that we did, and we've got right now 156 unique adults that have visited over the last 7 services. About a third of those are volunteers, and about 2/3 of them are non-volunteers. 47 were students, 37 city out of the ones that were not volunteering, and then 16 of them were guests altogether. The spirit of this is just to give you a sense for one question I think a lot of us are wrestling with right now is, how are people engaging with worship? Not just the city step, but I'm imagining you wonder about it too. What's it look like? Because you kind of know what your own personal rhythms are. You're kind of wondering what everybody else is doing. So what do I really want to say about this? We have people coming and worshiping in person. And one of the things I think is most encouraging to me about it is that I'm seeing and meeting new people every Sunday that I'm here. I'm one of those people that's here a lot just based on the nature of my role. Either I'm teaching on Sunday, or I'm maybe guest services director or something along those lines. And so like you, on the front end of the pandemic, unless I was speaking for our live stream, I was just at home worshiping with my family. But the last couple months I've been here a lot, and there are a lot of new people coming. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that are just checking it out for the first time. And that's been a blessing. It's one of the hardest things to do in a pandemic is to meet new people and engage. And they're coming in, they're looking for connection with God, but relationships with other people. It is very difficult for families to attend. We've seen only a handful of families have done it. The ones that have, I think, would all say, yeah, it's difficult. And so we're wrestling with all those things in this season. But one question I wanted to ask, really kind of the question I wanted to ask, is what hurdles are you maybe personally experiencing, or what are you seeing in your group that are hurdles for people to worship together with our community, particularly on Sunday mornings?
Joel, I'll snag some notes for you.
Great, thank you. I did write some with my pen in my car, but ink was leaking all over my hands. Pretty awesome.
And these could be hurdles that your family specifically has experienced, or you as an individual, or it could be something that you've heard in your group or your area of ministry. You might even have a reason that you'd like to share of why you haven't been pursuing Sunday mornings.
I mean, I can share. I think for our group, I've heard a wide range of reasons. There's health reasons for certain people. Just concerns about health and whatnot. And I think for those folks in our group, it's going to be a long time before they come to step into a building with a lot of people. For others, I definitely heard one family sharing along the lines of, like, I don't want to take up seats that could potentially go to others because it's just, you know, we're worshiping just fine at home. And I'd love to leave that space available for others. Mm-hmm. You know, the kid thing for sure came up. I heard that, you know, just waiting until like the whole family can engage in a way that we want to. You know, this may be, I've heard numerous families just loving the things that Melissa's put out. And I wonder, they didn't say this, but it almost hinted at like, that's so good. We just want to keep that going. The kids are loving the at-home stuff. So, you know, again, I think it's a wide range of things, in our group. It's not just one particular thing. I don't know if that helps.
Yeah. Thanks, Gab.
Joel, your question, is that in the context of like difficulty worship, meaning making it to the Sunday morning in person, or just kind of?
No. Oh. No, that's great. That's a great question, Warren. It's not our intent to have the entire church there in person, or even to tout that as the best thing. We do want the church worshiping. At, you know, obviously they can do that at any time, but there's a communal gathering aspect around what we're doing on Sundays, whether it's broadcast from here, going out. So I mean every possible avenue of access to that worship I'm interested in. That's a good question.
I gotcha. Okay. Yeah, and I think, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head where, at least me personally, and at least our family, what we found is that the community aspect is difficult, or the lack of community aspect. Of course, everyone's watching the same live stream, and it's the same, let's say you're watching the same live stream, it's the same songs and whatever, but there's something, you know, it's a little, it's different, right? I mean, it's effective, I think, just about as effective as it could be. I mean, I've loved it, and our family's loved it, and I've heard people really good feedback for it, but I mean, it's just not, you're not together. So I think that's been the difficult part, I think, both for the Sunday morning services, but also for our group. Like in the past, we would have sessions once a month where we would do communion. And so like members that are more musically inclined in our group would lead and, you know, play guitar and sing. And we would all sing, kind of sing together, and we'd do communion worship songs and communion and stuff. And like, you know, I think we've tried that a little bit on some of the Zoom meetings, but it's really tough to do that in a Zoom setting or whatever. So I think that's been the maybe the biggest hurdle. So we've talked a little bit about how to bring that sense of community back, but still be virtual. For example, do like a essentially a live stream watch party, where if somebody had an outdoor screen or something like that, maybe we could all go to somebody's backyard and watch the live stream together and do something like that. Kevin, kind of like you said, though, as this weather, we haven't done that yet, but as the weather is getting less and less friendly for something like that, especially maybe earlier in the mornings, I think we're struggling a little bit to get that, or sorry, I'm struggling a little bit as far as getting that sense of community worship, even for the live streams. I mean, again, the live streams, I think, are great. For me, though, I've always struggled. Like, I don't like, for example, singing at a TV or singing along, even on the radio. Like, it just, something about the not being in person with others is just, it's a little different for me. So, oh, it's been a struggle.
Oh, it's good to have your honest thoughts on that, Warren. Mm-hmm. It might be that we're pushing the envelope on, we're doing it as well as can be done given the circumstances. But I think part of the spirit of our question is, even if there's a little bit better to eke out, we'd want to do it. I wonder, out of all the different, maybe Warren, I could direct this question to you, but anybody's able to answer it if they want. Out of all the different variants that we've tried on the live stream approach, I wonder if any of the formats have felt more engaging or less engaging. We've tried different things with worship. I mean, given it's all a live stream, tried different things with people responding by comments and then integrating with those comments into the service times. I'm just wondering if any of that is connecting better or worse.
I think with interactions is pretty great. You know, it really makes you feel like more part of the community. I know there were a couple pre-recorded sessions, and when that were live streamed. And when those happen, you get the feel of, well, I could watch this later, and then you don't. You know, we've all been there. But the immediate interaction is like, oh wow, I'm still part of this community. And I also want to echo everything Warren's said about feeling like not the same when you're watching something from home versus live. We can't really do like lunch out together over Zoom.
Yeah.
Yep. Any additional thoughts on that topic overall? You don't have to send them now. You can share them with us by email or text or call, whatever's best for you to do. So we're kind of open hands on this. We're treating the whole live stream as a, we just want to continue to get better at it. So we're constantly looking for ideas and what's connecting best with people, because at the end of the day, that connection, the worst connection, is what we're shooting for.
Joel, I had heard from our group that also the taking up space, knowing that there's so few able to go each Sunday for the capacity reasons, that they didn't want to take up space. Even one member shared, I've been a member for 10 years, but I don't feel like it's my place. I want to give space for new people. So I don't know the balance and how to, you know, cheer on the fact that we do have a lot of new people coming, but encourage those, like this particular person I know is solo at home. And I just feel like, oh, what, it's still a place for you, especially if mm-hmm. you're not connections and you're not even worshiping with a family at home. So I don't know how to like balance, you know, move forward and say, we want to see everybody, whether you've been at New Life for 10 years or not, or whatever your family circumstances. You could be a family of 10 and come, or you can be a solo individual and come. I don't know how to communicate that well, but I think just kind of sharing that it's still a place for you to come in person. And then the other that I think you guys kind of shared too with families, the only thing that I would say is just not providing any place for young children is a huge hurdle. I think older children can do it. It's feasible. They can sit and participate, but it is a little trickier with young children when you don't want to like safely encroach upon someone near you's space, because you don't know how they would respond if your young child moves closer toward them. Do you know what I mean?
And trying to know exactly what you mean.
So yeah. I don't know. I just feel like the lack of having any type of space for them in this season makes it incredibly challenging to bring in, you know, young families of toddlers.
Yeah, that's good, Gene. I think we know in our hearts that unless we have a viable children's ministry, families with young kids it's going to be really tough to pull that off.
Gene, isn't that what baby leashes are for?
No.
Put them on a leash?
Yeah, you can try that when you have a little one.
See how well that goes in society.
I was a runner as a kid. I was on one of those leashes for probably longer than I should have been.
Well, let me transition to, we have a number of updates and announcements we want to pass along to you. Let's see if I can find them. Charles and Melissa, why don't I jump over to you two first with the D-Bucks corn maze thing.
Sure.
Am I getting that right? Yeah.
Joel, would you like me just to share about that particular event, or would you like me to share about
just
a couple of?
Start going down your list.
You can roll your whole list. I don't have a particular order for these.
Awesome. Well, it's great to hear your thoughts, guys. I know that this is a particularly challenging season. It's especially difficult navigating it with families online. Our church did the NLK call around this summer. We had a really beautiful opportunity to ask questions to families and talk to them and just hear their thoughts, check in on how they're doing, and spend some time praying together. And I asked a lot of our families, what is the thing that you guys need most right now? What is your family acutely feeling and needing in this season? And the answer is spaces for connection and socialization. I heard that overwhelmingly from families across the board, with kids in multiple different age levels and ranges and phases of life, and just that missing and that need for space with connection and socialization. And so with that in mind, I prayed a lot about how we would navigate through this fall, and collaborated a ton with our NLK advisory team and our city staff team. And what we have for you, it are three things this fall that we are doing, launching with a very focused heart towards creating space for connection and socialization safely for our families in a season where we're not able to be hosting in-person classes right now. I am going to share about these three things with you, and I want to preface it by, if you're not ready for any one of these things, that's totally okay. But several of them do have online components that we've created intentionally to have a space where we can include everyone, regardless of your comfort level and what variety of education your family is experiencing right now, all of the rhythms that aren't being navigated at home. And so I hope that you'll prayerfully take in this information and consider it, think through who in your lives this info might bless and these events might bless, and then prayerfully take that step, like we've talked about in the Discipleship Pathway, of inviting someone to do this with you. The first thing that we have created is connection for our Chaos Kids. We are hosting Chaos online, and we officially launched this last Sunday with a one-time Sunday afternoon Zoom meeting that's happening each week from 11:30 to 12:30. So it's right after our church service finishes with the live stream. And in that space, the goal is to have teens, it was created intentionally with the teens in mind. We want to be able to draw our teens closer to knowing the Lord through weekly Bible study and prayer. And then we also want to be able to create a space where your teens are receiving mentorship and care. So what we're doing is we are picking different books of the Bible and we are studying them together. Currently, we are going through the book of Ephesians, and my husband Nate and I are leading that one as a team. So you've got a guy and a girl leading for your middle school teens, and we had nine Chaos teens jump in last Sunday, which is incredible, and the discussion was alive and vibrant, and kids were so excited to participate. Our teens were active and asking good questions, and it was just such a joy and a blessing to see them there. We have 20 kids in Chaos right now, which is a huge number. 6th and 8th graders. So with that, I think there's also a really beautiful ministry opportunity to be meeting and feeding the souls of our middle schoolers through the word. What we are doing is Nate and I are going to be leading for the next 5 weeks, the study of Ephesians. And then at that point, we are stepping out and passing the leadership to the next person on our New Life Kids volunteer team, who's already signed up and committed and ready to go to take the kids through the next 6 weeks of study. And that's just even really wonderful. We're hoping that our teens are excited to have a space to learn about the Lord and to pray together, but also that they'll know and visually see who their mentors are right now in our church, who their leaders are in their church right now, that they'll remember their faces, they'll feel connected, and they'll just know that they have people who are praying for them and supporting them. Each week, as we go through one chapter of Ephesians, we're asking the three how questions of discipleship, which connect to the discipleship pathway really beautifully. The first one is, how are you seeing God show up in your life in your week right now? How is he speaking to you through this scripture? The second one is, what is one step you're taking in obedience to him? And then, of course, the last one is, who are you doing this with? Our goal really is to create a space where our teens feel equipped with familiarity of scripture, and they really understand how they can apply it in their week, utilizing the tool of the discipleship pathway. So I would encourage you, for the people you know, the people in your world right now, or your virtual world right now, encourage your teens and families with teens to connect with this time. Encourage them to be faithful in that commitment. And I ask you to also consider asking those questions actively with your kids at home. If you don't have kids, still be asking those questions, right? Those three questions lead us back to the discipleship pathway, which is where we started this morning talking through an application of that. And so I encourage you to take that with you prayerfully and integrate it in your week. The second event is that we are going to DeBuck's Corn Maze next Sunday. Take in our teens and our high schoolers there every year. And this year, thinking through the New Life Kids ministry and our budget specifically, there were some finances that we were not going to be allocating in the traditional ways this fall. We don't need curriculum this fall in the same way. We don't have volunteers in person with us for kids on Sunday mornings right now. And so I prayerfully decided that we would reallocate those resources to how can we be blessing families. And so DeBucks has a really wonderful system in place. They are following great safety practices and procedures. They are cleaning and sanitizing everything and really committed to the well-being of everyone who visits. And then they're also using masks for everyone as well. So this is something we've opened up to all of families in our church, in New Life Kids, but also outside of that, any family. We are wanting to create an opportunity for your family to experience connection and socialization safely while the weather is still warm. And to facilitate that, we purchased the first 50 tickets for this event, and they are free. You just need to sign up. We have 20 people signed up already to go, and we have 30 tickets left. So if you or your family are interested in participating, again, we're asking families to come as a unit so that parents can safely navigate whatever might come up for their family and be the authority and the direction with that. But they can also do it safely with other families on the farm, going through a corn maze outdoors with masks on safely and just sharing a community together. So you are invited. We have 30 spots left. 20 family members from our church are already signed up and excited to go. And I'd love to extend that invitation to you. If you would like to sign up, we'll include a little sign up link in our email that Joel will send. And it's also available through, you know, our New Life Kids Facebook group. And it's been sent out in email to a couple of times. So I hope you'll join us and invite people you know who might be interested in that to join us too. And the last thing I'd like to share today is about a really, really exciting dream that I and the New Life Kids Advisory Team have been praying through since about 2018. We are thrilled to be able to do this. We've been dreaming big about what might serve families in our church. A big part of our mission is equipping parents to disciple their child and or teen in the home, and to do that with the love of God at the center of every action, right? And what family doesn't want that? I think that's just so, so true, especially in this season right now where everyone is home and families do have a lot more time. There can be all kinds of different things that come up. And so we are really, really thrilled to announce that with the support of our city staff team, with over a year of research and huge amounts of prayer and planning, we are launching an 8-week online parenting seminar just for you. So beginning the week of October 25th, just a couple weeks from now, we are going to be hosting Discipline That Connects. This is a course that is designed to equip parents with graceful and practical biblical practices that can be used during times of parenting challenge. You can connect with your family in a way that is safe and beautifully redirects your child or your teen to the heart of God, while also refining and training our own responses as parents to mirror and reflect the heart of Jesus Christ. So this is an 8-week course that we're going to do in 2 sessions. We'll do 4 weeks beginning October 25th, and then take a small break over the holidays. And our second session will be in January for those 4 weeks as well. And how it's gonna work is each week there's a 30-minute video, and you can watch that at any time throughout the week. You can fit it in one evening with your spouse. You can do it 3 chunks, 10 minutes before bed every night. It's just such great content, and it's communicating some really core foundational principles that I think are applicable for families with kids in every single age level. Essentially, we start as parents by looking at our own heart and strengthening our own spiritual relational foundation with the Lord, built on practices of safety and grace. And then through that, there are practical bite-sized chunks of information that you can put into action with your families, communicating 4 different messages. The first is, you are safe with me. The second is, you're loved no matter what. The third is, you are called and you're capable. The fourth is, you're responsible for your actions. We want to be able to constantly have our kids engaging with the Lord in everything they do, putting those practices into place right now in your home in an even deeper way will really set them up to develop that stronger relationship. So you get one video, 30 minutes, whole week to watch it. This is something that you can also, we have lifetime access to it with that registration. So if you need to take a week off or you want to review a week, you will have that content indefinitely for the rest of your life, which is pretty, pretty wonderful. With our registration, we're also gonna have a couple supplementary things in there. To register, it is $35 per family. Normally this course costs $119. And so this is a huge blessing that we are able to partner with Connected Families to make this happen in a small group setting for our church. It's just a total answer to prayer. We'll have a optional Zoom-in meeting time every week where we'll have some questions. Families can just connect with each other on that week's content. We will have an online chat space using a closed Facebook group for this time as well. So if you want to continue the conversation or ask questions, hear what other families are experiencing, that's an online space for typing and chat. And then there's also a workbook that comes along with it, and you can opt to receive that digitally or in a hard copy that I'll just deliver to your front porch for you. Let's see, what else do I need to share about that? Yeah, we have scholarships available too. So if the financial piece would prevent you or someone in your group from attending, please reach out and let me know. We do not want that to be the obstacle that prevents you from participating. And then I think I'll finish just by sharing, why would you want to do this in this season, right? Like, this season is already full. Parents probably feel really maxed out and at capacity in a lot of different ways. And I just want to encourage you to prayerfully consider what it would look like to have 30 minutes of time every week to just connect with your spouse on parenting. And this is not addressing the crisis of the day or trying to think about what's the quick fix for this solution or this situation or how can we make our schedule meet. It's just spending time with the framework of parenting, looking at our own hearts first, and then allowing Jesus Christ to work through that as we engage with our teens and with our kids. So imagine what that would look like, what that value could be for your family, even right now. When kids are 7 years old, they start to even pull away a little bit, and we want to be able to deepen that relationship and connection so that your kids are talking to you. And when we are stressed and tired as parents, like our family feels that, right? And so we don't want our family to be operating in that space when it comes to parenting challenges. Discipline as a young kid, but then navigating those balances and tensions for when your kid is older and needing more independence and giving that autonomy to your teen with trust in a way that communicates you're safe, you're loved, you are called and capable, and you are responsible for your actions. It's just incredibly powerful. So I encourage you to pray through whether this is the right time for you to do this workshop. I see a unique opportunity right now in this season where so many of us are home. It may feel impossible to imagine doing one more thing. But again, just 30 minutes a week to connect with your vision for your family in parenting, regardless of your age, knowing you have that flexibility of opting in and out whenever you need to, you still have that content. You can access it forever and ever and go back and revisit it too as your kids get older and type it. Like, what do I need to know now that they're in fifth grade? And what do I need to know now that they're older? Just going back and reviewing that and really having it become a life for them and your family. Our faith goal is that 25% of our New Life Kids families would participate, which is 14 registrations. So I'm available if you have questions. The New Life Kids Advisor team's available if you have questions. And we are just so, so excited for how God is going to move in this course for you and your family, and ultimately, hopefully, impacting our church in a season where growth and life are things that we are all hungry for right now.
Thanks, Melissa, for all the research and hard work and time that you've all put into this. I love that you managed to find something that's Christ-centered, good for kids at any age, and then has the flexibility for families to attend. So we put the Tithely registration event link in the chat. The best two things that we could have you do right now is for you to sign up and then tell families in your circle of influence that you've signed up and invite them to engage and join with you. And thank you to those of you who are here who have already signed up. We are grateful. We see you and we appreciate that. So take that link. If you need the info email resent to you, go ahead and message me now and I'll forward it to you. But we would love to have you. If you're dreaming of being a parent one day, if you've got tiny kids or older kids, this is an 8-week course that's for you. And thank you, Melissa, everybody. To your team.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Can I ask a quick clarifier, Melissa? The Debucks Corn Maze, is that a focus on chaos families? Did I hear that? Or is that any family?
Great question, Kevin. Thank you so much for asking. We have had it be a chaos-focused event previously, but it is any family.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. We opened it up so that we really could just, again, maximize that space of connection and socialization for those who want to take that step. So any family, any age. Every family, every age.
Yeah.
And let me ask this, just because I know I'll get this question from our home group. If they're not part of the first 50, how much is a ticket?
I think it's $15 right now, but again, we have scholarships available. So if that is something that creates a financial burden or would tip the scale on a family attending, please, please, please just let me know. We want people to be able to come.
In this season.
I'll point them to you.
Yeah.
We have scholarships. I mean, we have a lot of good tickets and we can get more too. I just started with 50 because it felt like a good number, but they still have more space.
Yeah, and you do have to buy online ahead of time. So if we do approach the 50, let Melissa know, you know what I mean? Because you're not able to buy them when you get there. So,
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a specific time ticket. We get a couple hour window.
Any other questions about what Melissa shared this morning? That was a lot. You did a great job getting through it. So she shared about the Debucks Corn Maze, Discipline That Connects workshop, and about
chaos online.
Are you still looking for volunteers to lead those 5 to 6 week sessions?
We are all set on volunteers for 2020.
Great.
But we were hoping to continue it in 2021. So yes, if you're interested in signing up for just 4 weeks at a time, 4 or 5 weeks, and you go right through those 4 or 5 weeks in a row consecutively, and then pass it on to our next leader, please let me know.
Okay, Jay, go ahead, Zimri.
Nope, go ahead.
I was just gonna transition to Jay for his announcement.
Yeah, so most of you in here know, or if you're listening to this online, if you have met Chelsea, you know that she is an amazing leader who loves the next generation with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. And she is with child and expecting any very soon. So we're super excited for her. It is a little bit different not having the regular Sunday gathering and community, you know, to kind of encourage and share her along the journey. So I would just say we wanted you to know that she is going to be stepping out back from high school director for a little bit. And we have been actively trying to find our interim high school directors. And the Lord has definitely guided and directed that process to not one, but two. Josh and Carly Woods are the names of a married couple who are going to step in as our interim high school directors. We're super excited for them. Chelsea met them in the last month or so. They jumped right in, had been checking things out, and then we went through a whole process and we decided, the whole elder minister team, that we definitely wanted to hire them as our interim high school director. So to say a little bit more, I'm gonna let Chelsea just say a word.
Yeah. So yeah, as Jay said, we've been praying for months and months. As soon as I found out that I was pregnant, I was like, wow, we got to start this process. So we've been praying and the Lord has just brought us to Josh and Carly. And it was even confirmed with Sarah Marie having a vision also for, she was praying and she was like, I think the Lord is telling me it's going to be a young married couple. And like, that was like way, before. So it's just been really cool to see how God has provided just in his right time. And I've, you know, just loved the opportunity over the last 9 years since we started the high school ministry, you know, to be, you know, a part of the high school ministry. I will still be a part of it when I come back in the winter of 2021. But Josh and Carly will be the interim high school director through the end of the school year, which is all the way through this, you know, until the kids finish school for this school year. So anyway, we're excited. They're going to join the current high school volunteers that have been serving with us. We have already, we sent out an email to the volunteers this morning, and then we will follow it up with an email to the parents here right at the end of the call here. So the kids have met them. They really enjoy that, like the connection is there, and we're just excited to see what God has during this season. So it's a big step to step back, but I'm excited, and I know that Josh and Carly will do an amazing job, and we'll just continue to love on our kids and continue to grow their relationship with God and just to meet them right where they're at, and just to continue to walk alongside them, as well as walk alongside the parents and support the parents and the families. And just during this time, not only during COVID, but just in general, during this time. So if you guys have any other questions or anything, please let me know. I'm still around and still want to hear from everybody. So, yeah.
We're so excited for you. Go ahead, Jay.
Do I have time to pray real quick for Chelsea and this transition?
Yeah.
That'd be great. Lord, I thank you for Chelsea. I thank you for just her ministry, her passion for the next generation, all the ways that she has served. Thank you for her marriage with John and this little one that's on the way. Lord, we pray that you protect them, bless them through the final days, and just welcoming this little one into this world, and just the blessing that it is. Lord, we pray even for the high school as Chelsea steps back and Josh and Carly step up. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless those times, those relationships, especially in this season that is so challenging. We just thank you for the gift of them to be able to step in and serve and keep loving on them as they go forward. And we pray that you would just continue to guide and direct and help us experience more of you and your grace in this season. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Chelsea, we're so excited for you to take maternity leave and care for yourself and invest in your family. And we look forward to investing and caring for the three of you for a season. So excited and grateful for you. Mm-hmm. One last thing real quick from us is that some of you should have heard or know from emails from Joel that we've been serving once a month with Christian Love Fellowship in Ipsy. Mike Armfield, who's here, and I have been going, and it's a great experience. Coming up again on October 24th, we'll be there from 9 to noon. Wanted to invite you in your groups, and then if there's anyone specifically you know that's servant-hearted or is looking for a way to connect more with the community, Joel and I would love to know about them, and we can issue them a specific invite and let them know about it more. It's a really great way to serve. It is open to families and people of all ages. It's been a blessing to get to meet people and connect with the saints at Christian Love. And we look forward to continuing this partnership even into 2021. So if you've got questions about that, let Joel or I know. We'd love to see you there. Grateful.
I think one last announcement, Kevin, can I give it over to you for your video project? You're muted, man.
Thank you. I was talking silently to myself. Thank you, Joel. One thing that Jay and I wanted to just kind of bring to our group leaders is that we are working behind the scenes on just some exciting things and needs for the church. In particular, in this season, we've had just a tremendous amount of workload put on our communications team. Obviously, we all been blessed by that through our Sunday service live stream, campus in particular with all the social media. But that communications team is in need of some kind of revitalization of the tools they're using and whatnot. And I'll speak a little more on that. And the second thing is, we have been in our building in the facility of New Life Church since February of 2007. It's been there 13 years. It has served us tremendously. There's been so much life transformation. Just look at the wall of life transformation. But we are in need of revitalizing our building a bit. Paint, carpet, bathroom renovations. I think bathrooms is the number one complaint I hear when I talk to families. And there is just tremendous need, I think, to set us up well for the next 10 to 13 years. If we could just pour some time and some money into revitalizing the building, quite frankly, while there's very little interruption, where there's very little going on in the building, to be able to come back to a facility that is ready to go for the next 10 years would just be a huge blessing, I think, for the city and campus of our church. So one of the things that could really help us in getting the word out about these things is having some video footage of home groups, of families. And there is a document that we will be sending forward here regarding that. The communication team just needs footage. They're running out of footage. They could really be blessed for not only sharing with the church about these needs, but also as they're making videos for other things. And really be able to be in a better place to equip us on a lot of these things. So just wanted to bring that to your guys' attention. We really could use video footage to help advertise our kind of end of the year, ask that we're going to make to the church to improve our video team as well as our facility, but also just videos going forward. We really could use more footage for those things too.
And you'll send out in that document examples of what kind of videos you want?
Yeah, our video team put a document together. It seemed pretty straightforward to me in regards to what they're looking for. And again, I'll review that. And yes, I'll forward that on. Who should that go to? You, Sarah Marie, or Joel?
Either one of us.
Okay. Joel has access to it. I'll make sure you get access to it. Okay. And we can save it as a PDF and send it out. So
I really appreciate your forward thinking on this of what can we do to improve our space and our teams while the building is empty.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for participating, everybody, this morning. Jay, would you mind closing us out this morning?
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Lord, I thank you for all of these leaders and for all the home groups, discipleship groups, people in this church who are represented here and listening to this at another time. Lord, we pray that you would continue in the midst of this crazy season. Number one, to help us feel connected to you, Lord, that we know you are present, you are with us, you are for us. Lord, I pray that we would just be reminded to carve out space and time to pursue you, and that we would experience your presence through scripture and worship and whatever ways we engage with you. Lord, I pray for community, that you would help us discover new ways of feeling and staying connected, that we would innovate, and Lord, that we would find ways that are meaningful and helpful to all of us, and Lord, that we could stay a people who remains committed to one another, committed to you, Lord, that we would be centered in you, and Lord, we pray that you would continue to guide and direct in all these various things. There's a lot of opportunities in front of us, a lot of various ways, opportunities coming through the church, ways to serve, ways to be involved. I pray that you would guide and direct and allow us to listen to your voice and to lean into what you have for us. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the gift of life and that we can follow you as our Heavenly Father. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate the way you lead. Have a great day out there.